All right, good afternoon, everybody. So I got an email or a text from somebody that I know saying that he was a little bothered by the fact that when everyone went away for Pesach to Florida, so all the women used whatever the local mikvahs were, and a lot of people don't realize that they were probably using a Chabad mikvah, and they don't know the halachic issues with using a Chabad mikvah. So he said, did you ever give a Temen Halachashir and using Chabad mikvah? I said, now that's a challenge, to try to give a Temen Halachashir with the proper background to be able to understand a Chabad mikvah within 10 minutes. So let's give it a shot. Let's see if we could do it. Clock starts now. Okay, so a little bit of background to a mikvah. And typically, a mikvah has to have 40 sa'a of rainwater. The problem is that in order for a mikvah to be clean, you need to change the water all the time. If you're changing the water, it's not rainwater. You're changing the water with water from a faucet. So how do they do that? So there are several ways that you could make it that water that isn't rainwater can still be used as a mikvah. That faucet water can still be used as a mikvah. So we're going to mention those ways. First is what's called hashaka. Hashaka is that you get two bodies of water that touch each other. One is a bar that's full of 40 sa of rainwater, and then you have another one that you could fill up and empty out and fill up and empty out with regular faucet water, and there's a pipe in between where the two waters are touching one another. And therefore, that will be machshir, the tap water, to be used as a mikvah. The Mishnah says that the halacha is, Mishnah 6 parak of Masechet Mikvah says that the halacha is that the size of the hole that connects the two pools of water needs to be kishvoferes hanod, which is somewhere between 1.5 and 3 inches. Now, the tap water in the mikvah, you have to make sure it gets up to the same height, to the height of the hole that's between the two mikvahs, otherwise it doesn't work. So typically what they'll do in mikvahs is they'll put tiles up until that height, and then the tiles of a different color above that height. So it's very easy to tell, because you see, if the water level dips below the one color tile, then you know that the water level is too low. There is a major machlokas among the Rishonim whether that hole needs to be open at the time of the tevila, or does it just need to touch once and then you plug it up and then it's fine. So that's a major machlokas Rishonim. The Rush in Tshuvas in Siman Lamed Aleph is Mekil. Rabbi Yeruchim is Machmir. So in Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Siman Reish Aleph, Sifnun Bey, Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rush to be Mekil, but the Shach says that we try to be Machmir. And all mikvahs you've ever seen, probably they try to be machmir, to leave that hole open in the between the bar ashaka and the tap water bar that people actually are tovel in. So that is one way of solving the issue. The other way of solving the issue is what's called Zriya. The Mishnah in the 6th Parak of Mikvos describes if you have two pits on the side of a mountain, one is higher up than the other, so the top pit has all the rainwater it needs, and has 40 saw of rainwater, and the bottom pit is empty. So the Mishnah says you could fill the bottom pit with water without having to wait for rain to fill up that bottom pit. All you got to do is bring buckets and buckets of water, pour it into the top pit, and then the overflow will go down into the bottom pit, and that will be perfectly fine. Then you're allowed to use the bottom pit for a mikvah. That is what a process that we call zriya. The mayim shuvim that's poured into the top mikvah becomes kosher because it was poured into a kosher mikvah. And then when that mayim shuvim runs down the mountain into the next mikvah, it's going to remain kosher. So mikvahs nowadays typically use zriya as well. How do we use zriya? They fill up a pit with rainwater, and then they don't just turn on a faucet that fills up the other pit that people are actually tovel in. They turn on a faucet that fills up the pit that's already filled with rainwater. And the overflow goes into another bar that people are actually tovel in. And that is the process called Zriya. And that's what we typically do. The tap water becomes kosher by going into the pit with the rainwater. And then it goes out into the pit that people will actually be tovel in. And when they need to change the water for cleanliness, so the water is removed from the pit that people are tovel in. And then they do Zriya again. Then they pour the water into the other pit again. Now, there is a problem with Zriya, and it may be a problem with Hashaka as well, and that is that according to the Shitas HaRavid and probably Rambam and the Rambam as well, you need to have 20 sa'a of the original rainwater in the original bar. So whether it be the bar Hashaka or the bar Zriya, you need 20 sa'a of original rainwater. Now, you can imagine if you're using Zriya and you just keep pouring more tap water in and it overflows, eventually you're running out of the original rainwater. You're not going to have as much much of the original rainwater. So that is what we call Zriya. The third thing that they do is something called Hamshacha. The Gemara in Tmura Daf Yud Beis quotes a Braisa that if a mikveh has a base of more than 20 sa'a of rainwater that went directly into the mikveh, then the rest of the 40 sa'a could be Mayim She'uvim, as long as it runs along the ground on its way into the mikveh. So the Rambam in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Mikvaos and the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Aleph Si'if Mem Dalid, Paskin this lahalacha. So the Radvaz writes, yeah, that's kosher b'di'eved, but not l'chadchila. And Rav Moshe in the Tshuva in Yeridei Chelek Gimel Simin Samach Dalid Os Gimel Paskins like the Radvaz. So the Tosos points out that a mikvah whose water is entirely mayim shuvim you try to make okay through Hamshacha is Asr Midrabbanan, but Midaraisa it would be a Kashra Mikvah. So Hamshacha alone is a terrible solution because it would yield a Mikvah that is Pasul Midrabbanan. It would be Kashra Midaraisa, but it would yield a Mikvah that is Pasul Midrabbanan. But we do it L'Rav Chedimilsa. We do it on top of the Barzriya. The Barashaka, we also do the Hamshacha because you might as well knock everything down to a concern Midrabbanan to begin with. Okay, so now how do we build Mikvahs and how does Chabad build Mikvahs? So the way we build mikvahs, who's the we, right? There's a lot of we's out there. So the Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that the best thing to do is to have a bar hashaka and a bar zriya. You do zriya as a backup in case the hashaka process fails, meaning just in case that hole gets plugged or the water goes below the line where it's supposed to touch the bar hashaka. Zriya alone is not going to be good because you run into problems with the rivet that you may not have 20 sa of the original water if you keep on filling tap water in the barzriya to refill the mikveh. So that's what we call natan sa'a v'natal sa'a. So in Yerushalayim they would always follow this approach to have a bar hashaka because that's not going to run afoul of the ravid because it's unlikely that the bar hashaka is going to lose so much water. The bar hashaka is stable. It's not, no one aggravates that water very much. Whereas the barzriya is constantly being aggravated when you're pouring in more tap water for its overflow. So the bar hashaka is much more likely to remain more or less okay. There is another shita, and that is the shita of the Chazon Ish, and this is the minhag in Bnei Brak, is to use a bar zriya and not a bar hashaka. And they say the bar hashaka is unnecessary. Zriya completely does the job. The hashaka doesn't satisfy the ravid anyway, because nasan sa'a v'natal sa'a is going to affect hashaka just as much as it affects zriya. So they thought that it's good enough to just have a bar zriya. And they're not so worried about not satisfying the shita of the Ravid, because most Rishonim don't pass like the Ravid anyway, and the Shulchan Aruch, and most of the Nosei Kelim don't pass like the Ravid. And Ramesha, even though Ramesha suggests doing both the bar hashaka and bar zriya, he says the Ravid is still a das yachid, so it's not necessarily true that we pass like the Ravid, so bar zriya is good enough. Then there's a third approach, and that is the approach of the Divrei Chaim. Divrei Chaim, Chosh Mishpat Simen Lamed Zayin, tries to satisfy everybody by using a bar zriya and a momentary hashaka. What he does is that they open up the hole between the bar hashaka and the bar that everyone's stumbling for a second, and then they close it back up. And in that way, the bar hashaka is very stable. It's not going to lose any of its water, because when is the bar hashaka likely to have its water mix and lose some water? When someone's toveling, because when they're toveling, then water starts flowing, water starts moving around. But if while someone's toveling, the thing is closed up, then it's fine. The problem is that that's against Rabbeinu Yeruchim, right? Rabbeinu Yeruchim says that it's not enough to just have it plugged up for during the tefillah. You need it to be open during the tefillah. But Divrei Chaim says that's what the bar zriya is for, meaning that's only when you're relying on hashaka alone. But over here, yeah, you filled up the whole thing with the bar zriya, so it's already all mikvah water anyhow. So you don't have to worry about it so much. So you have the hashaka as a backup. So okay, your hashaka is not a Rabbeinu Yeruchim hashaka, but that would be okay. Now, what do Lubavitcher mikvahs do? So it's not the Alter Rebbe; it's the Rebbe Rashab who came up with the following solution. He said, "What was the concern? The concern is that you're gonna run afoul of the Ravid. You're gonna lose too much of the original water." He said, Who says the bar hashaka has to be next to the bar that you tovel in? Maybe you could put the bar hashaka lower than the bar you tovel in, and it will touch through the floor. You leave a hole between the original bar that's stuck with that's filled with rainwater and the bar that everyone is toveling in. So he introduced this idea that he then had certain details. He said you got to make sure there are two holes and that they're far enough apart from each other. Why two holes? Because a woman might be stepping on the hole when she's toveling, and then it's going to be, meaning once the hole's on the bottom, it's not on the side, she might be stepping on it. So you want two holes, and you want them far enough apart from each other that she can't be hitting both of them at the same time. And he required that the holes be tefach, that they be a little bit larger for whatever reason. Now, a lot of things that this solves, right? You don't have to worry about forgetting to open up the hole, because the hole is never closed, right? So you don't have to worry about the fact that whoever takes care of the mikvah forgets to open it up. So you're never going to run afoul of Rabbi Yeruchim. You don't have to worry about that the water level is going to go down below the line where it's connected, because it can never go below the line it's connected. It's connected on the floor. You don't have to worry about the rivet, because they heat the mikveh that people use, and heat rises. They don't heat the bar hashaka, so that water is going to stay down there, and the mikveh that people are in is going to be okay. And it's also cheaper, because you don't have to dig a second bar. You don't need as much land either. You don't need to dig another bar, because next to it you could just go deeper down. So especially if you're a Chabad shliach somewhere and you don't have an abundance of land and whatever else, and you're just trying to make work, you're the everything in that community. So you gotta make it work. So it works out for that. So what's the criticism? Why do some people not like it? So the Divrei Chaim has a tshuva where he quotes the Mishnah in the 8th Perek of Taros. It says that katafres eino chibur, that when water flows along a slope into a mikveh, that's not considered to be an attachment to the mikveh. Meaning that it's not that it just happened to be that we always did hashaka with two side-by-side boros. It has to be two side-by-side boros. You can't have katafres. You can't have it flowing down and up. That's what the Divrei Chaim's main taina is. So there are those that suggest, there are a number of achronim that suggest that katafres eino chibur doesn't apply in this case, because maybe that's only when the water is going down a slope, but not when you have two pools of water that are just sitting there. Maybe Katafris and Chibur, the Lechem Assembly points out, doesn't apply when the two pools are one above the other and are purposely being connected for that purpose. And there are other reasons why that are given by the Achronim why Katafris and Chibur should not be a problem. Also, it could be that the Divrei Chaim would be okay with the Lubavitcher Mikvaos the way that they currently make them. Because the Divrei Chaim writes that we don't say Katafres Einu Chibur when the water had its status of Mayim Sheuvim knocked down to a Darabanan. And remember, we said, well, anyway, we're always doing Hamshacha. So we've already knocked down everything to a Darabanan, because we already do Hamshacha. So once the whole Shaila is only a Darabanan, then you don't have to worry about Katafres Einu Chibur. Memela, the Chabad Mikvah is going to be okay. But that's some of the criticism that was out there. So now they try to make mikvahs in many of the communities. They try to make mikvahs that satisfy everybody. There's a bar hashaka over there, a bar hashaka underneath, there's a bar zviya there, so that the whole world can be happy with the mikvahs. Lemaisa, most of the mikvahs, meaning it's hard to say that any of these models of making a mikvah are possible. They're all kosher. It's just a question of what your communal preference is.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.